Everybody, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki, and this is the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm live streaming on YouTube. That's what it is, YouTube. Oh, God. This is my first live stream where I am visible to the public. And welcome. Hello. How y'all doing? It's very strange to be seen. It's nice to be seen. As the old saying goes, it's nice to be anywhere. So welcome. Come on in. Have a seat. There's a chair right behind me. There's lots of floor space here. Just, you know, don't sit on cords because they can be a very shocking experience. But come on in. Come on in. How is everybody? Today is Wednesday, the 13th of August. 13th of August, 2025. That's my old, wedding date? Oh my God. Yeah, it's my ex-wedding date. Isn't that something? It just kind of struck me. Oh, that's what that is. Kind of going, oh, what the heck? All right, well, I don't think did I get pale? Do I still have any color in my face? Can you tell? I can't quite tell myself. All right. I can see myself in the camera mirror here, as such as it is. So, welcome. Yeah, what a day. What a world. Oh, what a world. What a world. So, how are you? How is everything? How is everything going? Is everything going okay? I think everything's going okay. For those of you listening on the radio, the box, the thing, either now in live time or in the future. Remember, the future is quite a place. And there will be some of you who are listening in the future, on demand, or whatever that means. You can also watch this, if you can stand it, if your stomachs are strong, on YouTube, where you go to YouTube at Mo Abdelbaki, spelled M-O, Abdelbaki with an I. I'm kidding. Abdelbaki. And that'll take you to my channel, and you'll see it with the fancy googa that says Mo's Paisley Penny Arcade. The arcade is here in our minds, and all sorts of other places as well, wherever I decide to set it up. So today, I think, is going to be an interesting day. I've had lots of stuff happen. I was going to talk about something that happened on Monday. And I think I'm going to wait to talk about that while I process it some more. Why? Because I need to process it some more. It was a wonderful thing. It was an outstanding thing. It was a great thing. It was something I enjoyed very, very much. One of the most enjoyable things I've done in a long, long time. And it's definitely worth talking about, but I want to wait a while, okay? So if you don't mind, I don't mind. If I don't mind, and if you don't matter, no, if I don't matter and you don't mind, if it mind over matter, I think that's all I was trying to get to. So. So today I want to talk about something I think is very cool, and I hope you will find it very cool indeed. Developing inner vision. Why? Well, why not? Why wouldn't you want to develop inner vision? I mean, it's something that's very cool. Now, if you have any desire to do any type of readings, or if you want to do any type of clairvoyance, which can lead to readings, or if you just like to imagine things, or if you're into the arts or the sciences or the humanities or the inhumanities, which we're seeing a lot of now, then inner vision is something that is quite wonderful to have. So that's what I am going to talk about today, developing inner vision. I've got some tricks and some ideas, stay tuned. Yeah, stay tuned. I've even got some visual aids. Oh, you know what? We've got a chat room. Let me get those open here. Chat. There it is. And I'll get that up here. Hello, Leslie. It's nice to see you. Wonderful. And Terry, nice to see you too. I will keep an eye on this and I will actually talk to you. Why? Because I'm not a snob. I'm not a technical giant, you know, but I would love to talk to you. And if you have things you'd, I'm not going to answer like, questions like, well, so-and-so asked me to the prom and stuff like that. I'm not going to answer those types of questions. This is, I get a reversed image of myself in the mirror here, so it's kind of confusing. But I realize I need to trim my beard. One side is longer than the other. We ex-hippies, we don't know what we're doing. Anne, hello. Bonjour, Anne. Nice to see you. Having you people in here makes me very pleased. It's nice to be pleased. I expect to be pleased. I expect to be happy. Please me. Oh, my God. I'm such a goof. Oh, my God. C'est dommage. C'est dommage. Anyway, let's get back to the subject at hand. Oh, Chris Farley used to do that all the time. Have a nice white beard. Bear. Oh, have a nice white. Oh, beard. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've earned every one of these white hairs. I actually have some regular hair up here somewhere. Not much in the back. Yeah. I used to have hair. I used to have lots of hair, and it was out to here, you know. But I was always crazed, and I growled a lot. It was, it's a long, different story. So, why do you want to develop inner vision? I think it's good. The ability to visualize within, well, it's pretty good. I mean, you'll improve your skills on just about everything. And it helps with everything, especially if you're an artist. I find that I see lots of things, and it's not because of mushrooms or any of that other stuff. I see lots of things, and then I can draw those lots of things. For example, my tarot deck. I have a tarot deck that I designed and drew. So, and you get these ideas, and you know, you get them in a fever. Here's the back of my tarot deck. I drew this a long time ago. That's the back of it. There's me, I'm sitting, and there is Harvey, my friend Harvey, and a little puppy dog there. That was Trudy. Trudy's no longer with us, unfortunately. Now we have Coco Bean, and she is wonderful. So that's that's just whimsical. I was in a whimsical mood. But for instance, here's my strength card, you see. I saw that in my mind's eye, because that's an old Sphinx before it was cleared away of all the sand. But think of the strength that took. Think of that strength that took for that thing to sit there for thousands of years, approximately 1300 BC, under the reign of Thutmose IV, that he had it cleared away. And it had been there for a long time before him. I walked between the paws of the Sphinx and almost got arrested, but that's a different story. And I was 18 years old. Yes, I once was 18 years old. It was a long time ago. But it was a good time. It was an excellent time. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. kind words in the chat room. I'll keep it up. So I'll keep the chat room up. So having this ability to visualize, inner vision, and it's not the same as the third eye, but maybe it is sometimes. My third eye was opened. I know you're seeing my yellow glasses. They're very yellow. You can see they're very yellow. It's because of blue light or something. The doctor said I should wear them because I spend a fair amount of time on the computer. I guess it helps. I don't know. But my face seems very tiny and so on and so forth, you know. I'm self-conscious. I mean, aren't we all a little bit? But I don't know. I'm an ancient Egyptian now. Wasn't always so old. I wasn't always so old. Isn't that deep? God, he's deep. But anyway, my third eye, oh yeah, Frodo the druid, real guy, he was given the name when he became, what do you call that, when you make a priest, but that was not, he certainly wasn't made a priest. He was made a druid, a druidic priest in an old tradition. But when he was ordained a druidic priest in the Outer Hebrides Islands, and they gave him the name, he chose it, means scholar. What a guy. What a guy. That wasn't his given name at birth. Doesn't matter. I'll get into him some other time. So there are a lot of techniques for getting your for developing or improving your vision, your inner vision. It's kind of simple, but it's not always that simple. There's a classic technique, and that is to see an apple in your mind. We should try it. I mean, we can try it. You're sitting right here. If you're looking at me, it would be probably pretty welcome, is to see an apple. It's just very simple. Just, if you're driving, don't do this. But if you're not driving and you're seated somewhere, close your eyes and see an apple. Can you see an apple in your mind's eye? And just, you don't even have to close your eyes. I don't. I just see things and I see an apple. And, of course, interestingly enough, the first apple I see is the apple on a record album for Apple Records, like the White Album, let's say, you know, and it's green, or on Abbey Road or whatever, you know, and you see that, and then you can have it be real. You can see it in the palm of your hand. But I've been doing this for a very, very, very long time. And then to change its color from green to red. Perhaps to a pink lady. Oh, don't do that. And then it turned into a pink lady, a real lady. But that's different. That's just, you know, old man. And then I saw Neil Young. That's what happens in the mind. That's what happens during the process of sometimes divination. You get image after image after image. And it happens very quickly, and it happens very spontaneously. And that's what divination can be. It can be exactly that. And it can be so wonderful because that's where we are. That's how these things work after a while, you see. But we'll get to that. Yeah. Get that apple back. Get that apple back. Not Abdelbaki. Apple back. Now, feel it. Feel it. Hold it. Feel the weight in your mind. Now take a bite out of it and taste it. Well, that's a pretty good apple. See, inner vision is more than sight. It's all the senses. It's everything at once. Can you smell it? I can smell it. Smell the end of it there. See the stem? Ah, there's a leaf on mine. That's a good sign. 1972, when my parents and I lived in California, Northern California, for a year. I lived in Palo Alto before it was Palo Alto. You know, it was just Palo Alto. And we went to apple orchard and picked apples. You could pick all the apples you wanted for a certain amount of money. It wasn't much, like, you know, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, whatever it was, and you just put them into the trunk of your car and did the same thing with artichokes. Went down to Gilmore, where now they're famous for garlic, and and got artichokes. Just put them in the trunk of the car. And God, that was a wonderful year. I was 18. It was a good year for me, 18, as a matter of fact, for reasons which I shall not necessarily bring up now, virginity. But that's a different story. Apple. So do that. Do that in your spare time. If you can already do that, then good. Then good. That's always a good one. The apple's a good one. Why? Because we all know apples. We love apples. If you don't like apples, if you can't eat them, you know, maybe do a peach. Maybe do a baseball or a cricket ball if you happen to be from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific if you're taking the long way around. Easy. Rainbows. Don't we all love rainbows? Not everyone does. Some people find them to be rather annoying and offensive and rather challenging and perhaps even threatening. But those people we're not really caring about, are we? I'm not. So, see a rainbow. Color by color, create it. So, see the red and the orange and the green. Blue. Indigo, violet. Now, in the beginning, this may be hard, but you do it color by color. This is a lovely exercise because you get to decide where you're seeing it. And you get to decide whether it's an arc or if you've ever seen a rainbow on an airplane, they can be circular. And if you've ever seen other rainbows in other places, sometimes other states of mind, well, then they can also be circular. That's a different story completely. But keep your mind open. Create the colors one by one and let them blend. And sometimes you'll realize that when you stop and think that no two people see the same rainbow the same way, ever. Why? Because there are billions and billions of raindrops. And no two people see the rainbow through the same raindrops. Now, there's something quite miraculous about that to me. And maybe there is to you as well. There certainly is to me. So the rainbow is a good idea, too. I like that one. I think that's a wonderful one. But you want to see it in your mind. Now, in the beginning, you may have to close your eyes. Eventually, you don't have to do that because those visions inhabit your brain. I had a bout of vertigo a few years ago. It was terrible. It started off like, oh, I'm dizzy. Oh, that's terrible. And 20 minutes later, oh, that's gone. Oh, I'm done with this. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, ha, 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 on the other foot, so to speak. Because it got worse and worse and worse. And finally, it was to the point where I was terribly upset. Because I was as sick as could be, and I was dizzy every day for hours, included nausea and having to curl up into a little fetal shape on the bed. It was very dramatic, I will say that. But it was horrible. So the doctors had no idea what to do. None. You get to that point where life is just no fun anymore. And I was thinking, I'm not sure what I'm going to do here. I really have no idea. So I talked to my sister. And I said, have you ever heard of anything like this in our family? She said, I have it. She's younger than I am by about 17 years. And she's much better looking. And she said, I have that. It's a thing, a family thing. And I know what it is. And they give me this pill. I take one a day. I told the doctors. The doctor said, fine, I'll prescribe this. You try it. I took one pill and it was done. Done. Never had it again. That's amazing. It's a family thing, like gout and all the other stuff that are family things in my family. So I took this pill, and the only thing, it's a kind of a psychotropic thing. It's not, you don't trip a lot and stuff. I wish, you know, it would be nice. I mean, you know, I am from the 60s, 70s. So One day I was at a stoplight. I was my first week of taking this thing, and you had to ease into it. And I kind of looked it up and said, beware of, you know, you might have these. And I was listening to Donovan's song, Hurdy-Gurdy Man. I don't know if you've heard the song. Now, if you've never heard Donovan's song, The Hurdy-Gurdy Man, you have missed out on one of the great mind melds of time. It is a remarkable song. If you would like to know kind of what it's like, what it was like, perhaps, to have been in the 60s, early 70s, to have been in a room with black light and your mind pretty altered, then listen to the song and just imagine yourself in that state. It's hella dangerous now, and I don't know that it's for everybody. It was for me at the time, and I had a lot to get through, to put it very bluntly, and it worked for me. But I was at a stoplight getting ready to turn left, and the song came on. It was on my rotation of songs I like. Hurdy-Gurdy, it is amazing. Leslie, you are so right. Hurdy-Gurdy Man, she said, is amazing. It's amazing. It's an amazing song. It's one of the songs that kind of defines the entire period. And as a matter of fact, when Donovan wrote it, he did not know what a hurdy-gurdy was. He thought it was the hurdy-gurdy anyway, but it's not. It's something more. So the song came on, and suddenly I was like, oh my God. It was remarkable. I was suddenly looking at, in my mind's eye now, because it was kind of developed anyway, I was seeing peasants plowing fields with oxen and paisley everywhere. Paisley is a recurring theme in my psyche for reasons that I don't know that we need to discuss it, but it's just a part of who I am. Paisley are seeds of life, bote. And it was just, wah! And I know I have to turn left any second, and there are these, and I could see, and I knew that I would turn left, and I would be successful in that. But there was this magnificent thing happening within me as well. And it was a remarkable moment for me. It was truthful. It was far out, you know, to put it very bluntly. It was far out. And it was because of this pill that stopped my vertigo. And I was very grateful for it, for the effects of not having vertigo anymore, and for that little moment. And it took a while before everything became normal again. And I went, oh, great, normality. But with this gift of inner vision, the world is never normal again, because you see things constantly that you pick up out of the stratosphere, out of the ether, because it's always going by. It's always happening, you see. Do you see? There's information everywhere. The universe is always talking to you. And I mean it. The universe is always talking to you. All you have to do is listen and pay attention. See, that's why I use tools. Because if I don't use tools, I'm liable to make some mistakes. Because it's always talking. And sometimes it's just talking gibberish. I'll be honest with you. That's why I like the tools. I like the tools very, very much. I use all sorts of tools. The I Ching, I use Tarot, I use astrology. I'm very fond of a Tibetan tool called Mo. Not because of the name. It's even spelled the way I spell it, Mo. I've spelled it many ways. I've spelled it for many, many years, M-E-A-U-X, which is the way they spelled it in Louisiana. The way I actually saw, there's a place called you know, Mo down in Louisiana. I said, I'm going to spell it that way. When I was in high school, I spelled it, first I was spelling it M-O-W. And a teacher became irritated with me and called me Mao. And I said, well, it's not really Mo. I'm not going to spell it with an E. I'm not a stooge. And the teacher said, I beg to differ. But anyway, so I said, well, it's not. I said, I'm just spelling it Mo, like mow the lawn. And that was annoying to them. So I spelled it M-O-U-G-H, as in though. And one teacher called me Muff. So it was Muff for a while. You know, it was. Which was not appreciated, but Louisiana cleared it up. M-E-A-U-S. And then I came back up here to Colorado, and people started, Meax. Oh, what is this, Meax? What is this? So I put it back to Mo. But it's all what we see and what we do. Anyway, on order, not board. Okay. The tattvas. Now, I'm going to show you something. I thought I knew where my tattva cards were. I really did. I've got tattva cards. But they're photosensitive cards. So I wrap them in cloth, and I stash them. And I thought I had them in a drawer. And I went to the drawer, and they're not there. So I don't know where in the world my tattva cards are. So if I find them, I will show them to you eventually. I had errands to run, had medication to pick up for my wife, that sort of thing. So when I got home, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this live on the air. And I know where my tattva cards are because I'm so disorganized. I'm truly disorganized because so I've always been. I have these levels in my head. I think that's the best way to put it. And they're all yelling at the same time. It's not like, Mo, Mo, wake up. You know, that sort of thing. It's not like that at all. All the time, anyway. So, anyway, here's a book. This is one of my important books. I keep, right now, there are three books on this little shelf right here that I keep next to me. One is The Book of Thoth by Aleister Crowley. The other one is The Golden Dawn by Israel Regardi, which is the magical order, and it has all sorts of things. These are reference books for me. And then the third one is 777 and other Kabbalistic writings of Aleister Crowley. Yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me. So here it is, The Golden Dawn. This is the pocket version. You can put this in your back pocket if you wear very, very big pants. You know, and I have in my life, anyway, so this is the compact version, and this is a good version. Why? This is the Llewellyn Golden Dawn series. Why is it so good? Because it has something, the big copy that I own, the Falcon series, the big Falcon printing, doesn't have one of these. And neither did the original four-volume series that I used to read in at Louisiana State University, where I went to school. It has an index. Holy cats! An index! This has an index. But anyway, I'll show you what I'm going to show you. And that is, oh, right where I put it, the tattvas. T-A-T-T-W-A-S. Tattvas. Tattvas. T-A-T-T-W-A-S. See a circle and a square and an egg and a triangle and a croissant. Okay? Now, you're going to have to take my word for it. The square is yellow. And I mean, these colors have to be bright yellow. You can look it up online. They're there. But you want the colors to be as bright as possible. And you're going to start off with these. Now, did you see the name of this? Now, I don't know if this is showing this to you backwards or forwards, but the word of this on this chapter is clairvoyance. Oh, it's right. Clairvoyance. Now, clairvoyance is not a singer on a ship. Clairvoyance, right? sight. It's psychic ability. It's a word we don't use. There's clairaudience. Now, clairaudience sings at 7 o'clock, so you want to get a good seat. See, I'm kidding. I've always... Right. Anne says clairvoyance is what we see. I've always considered it all to be clairvoyance. See, hear, experience, think, feel. To me, it's all been... Clairaudience has been kind of recently, they've done some anatomy on it and said, here we have clairvoyance, and here we have clairaudience, and next we have clair something else. You know, clairdreams. Anyway, forget it. Forget it. So, we have the yellow square, which is known as Priviti. Don't worry about spelling. And it represents earth. So sometimes you'll see it brown, but it should be bright yellow. Bright. So just for a second, see it in your mind's eye. A very bright yellow square. Yeah? Yeah. Next, a blue disc. Circle. Blue, 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 blue. Vayu. Why not you? Ah, that's metaphysical joke. Vayu, V-A-Y-U. Okay, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about the names. Just think about the blue disc. What color? Sky blue. That's air. That makes sense, doesn't it? Sky blue. Now, sometimes the sky is real light blue. Sometimes the sky is deep dark blue. We get some remarkably dark blue skies here in Colorado. You miss that when you're away. I do anyway. Now, the red triangle, Tejas, T-E-J-A-S, or that could be Tejas, like the stars at night are something and bright. Is it deep and bright? Clear and bright. The stars at night are clear and bright, deep in the heart of Tejas. That's a red triangle. It's an equilateral triangle. Point it up. What is that the symbol for in elemental discussions? Class? Class? You? Sitting way in the back? You? No, that's not right. It's fire. Bright. Bright red. Bright red. Yeah? Yeah. And a silver crescent. Silver crescent. See it. Silver. Metallic, glistening, silvery. By the light of the silvery moon, it's water. It's known as apas. Now, these are Hindu words, okay? See it. In the blackness, there is a silvery crescent smiling at you. This is all very good for you. It's all very, very good for you. Right? I wish I had my tattva cards. If wishes were beggars, then salami would not come the way it does. Okay. And then there is the egg. This says it's a black egg. I beg to differ. It is dark. Dark, dark purple. Ah. And what is its name? What is its name? Akasha. Ha, 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 ha. Ding! Akasha. Thus, the Akashic Records. Righto? Righto. The Akashic Records. That's what that is. The Akashic Records. So, it represents lots. It's the fifth element, spirit. So, apas is water. Rajas is fire. Vayu, air, and Praviti, earth. Now, eventually, what you can do to enhance your clairvoyant abilities and everything else in your life is to concentrate on these. Now, Aleister Crowley, unbeknownst to most people, devised his cards as doorways to other dimensions. I don't prescribe this to most people who haven't been doing that sort of work a lot, and that is to concentrate upon the cards and walk through them. And you do the same thing with these tattvas. Let me explain. What you do is you, for the cards, let's say, and the cards are a set of groups of cards. Now, what you can do is you can have, let's say, you want to go to the earthy part of fire. Whoa, what do you mean, Mo? Well, you have the red triangle, and in the middle of that, you have a yellow square. And you concentrate on that thought in your mind. You look at these under a bright light, the yellow triangle with the yellow square in the middle. So there's a card like that. And you concentrate upon that, and then you close your eyes. And then you move into that, and you see what you might see. So you might be in a sea of fire, which might be uncomfortable. Then again, it might not be uncomfortable at all, depending upon you. And you might suddenly find yourself on a raft, which would be maybe the earthy part of fire, or you might find yourself with a match, holding the match, looking at the head, you see. And that might be there. It might be anything. So, I mean, there's some really remarkable examples of this. And you do this over and over and over again. What you do is you learn about the elements, and you learn about yourself, and you learn about your ability and what you can do. And you learn about the universe, Akasha. Anyway, so one thing you can do is you put that in front of you under a bright light, and that's why these cards are photosensitive, and what are light sensitive, which and that eventually under too much light they begin to lose their color. They become duller, and you don't want that. So you're very careful with them. I've had them for years and years, and they're still pretty bright. But you could go on the internet and put in TATTWAS, pronounced with a V, tattvas. Okay? Some people call them tattvas. Doesn't matter. And then you put them on your screen, make it kind of bright, don't hurt your eyes, and you look at them. Let's say you look at Vayu, right? That's not Vayu. That's Apas. Vayu is air. Let's say you look at Apas, the crescent, water, and you look at that crescent, and then you look up at a wall, and what you're going to see is the opposite of that. Now, this is, we're getting into some pretty ahead of the game sort of stuff, you see, ahead of the game. And you look at that, and then you can walk right into it because it's kind of big, but you don't do it for real, obviously, because that might hurt your head. You're bowing into it. So you just walk into it mentally. So this is down the road, as you can see. And then you close your eyes and you just experience what you experience. Experience first, question later. Always. That's a Crowley rule. Experience first, question later. You will discover so many wonderful things if you just experience first, question later. Yeah, don't bog yourself down with all the heavy stuff. You know, don't, oh, that can't be. That can't have happened to me. Yeah, it can happen to you. And it very well might happen to you. And then, I have dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of notebooks. And you write in those notebooks. Write in them. Write in them. Write your experiences in those notebooks. Doesn't matter how silly they are. I had a dream this morning. And in my dream this morning, the very last thing before I woke up, was someone had been evaluated and they were shooed away for a job or whatever it was. They were turned down for something because they didn't have what it took. And it said they didn't have Jupiter sign dash EST. And someone said, is that say Uist? And I knew what it said, but I didn't know what it meant. They didn't have Uist. And I thought, no, it's Jupiter sign Est. And I'm still thinking about it. There's something there that really got me. I thought, what does that mean? So sometimes, you see, now I'm not always one for an instant answer. I did an I Ching, a live I Ching a couple of weeks ago, and it took me a few days to understand what it was telling me, but I got it. It took me 2 or 3 days, and the answer was right in front of me. It was on right in front of me, literally, right there, and I just went, oh my God, it was so simple. Because I was looking for deep meanings and everything, and it was just saying Mo. Because the question was, I'm very impulsive sometimes, you know. And it was right there. It was just saying, stop. Stop. Relax. Contemplate. Contemplate what you're doing. Empty yourself of everything but what is important to you. And then try it again. Boom. Answer. Right? Quod erat demonstratum. Just that simple. Anyway, the tattvas are fascinating. They're remarkable. They can change a lot about the way you see things, and they're just geometric figures, or are they more? They are much more. But start simple, or simply, depending on what you like. Tarot. Well, I love tarot. I got my first tarot deck when I was 10 years old. I drew pictures on cards that I bought from Walgreens, I think it was, for my own buckaroos, 10 cents. I was probably 6, maybe 7, and I drew pictures on them. Oh, I just got a question here. Clairvoyance. Verb in Scots meaning talk loudly at length. Used. Really? I've never heard that. Used. That's me. And says, I make it sound so easy, Mo. Sounds great, though, and a good practice to do to develop the sixth sense. Yeah, it is. It's. I don't know if it's easy, Anne, or anybody. It's not hard. You just have to be patient. There can be a lot of frustration in this work. It's not meant to be easy. It's meant to be a challenge, right? Otherwise, everyone do it. And it's meant to wash the wrong people out. And who's the wrong people? Oh, Mr. Judge. Mr. Judge. I'm not judging anybody. But there are some who don't get it and won't get it. And I'm very happy to say that it is not necessarily something that... It's not about bloodline. No. Even though my dad's mom and my mom were both very good at such things. They were both very psychic, what we call psychic. But, I don't know. But I believe in the tools, and these are kind of tools. My mom couldn't control it. Whatever she thought, that was it. If she thought I was wrapped around a tree, dead, in my car, that was the way it was. And when I came home, she screamed a lot. She didn't have to do that, you know? Tools. Logic. It's a science and an art. That's the merging of the two. That's what's so important. That's why we can live better lives rather than in misery. Let's talk about Thoreau for a second. Cards. Let's say that you want to get to know your deck better. Doesn't matter what deck you're using. This is my deck. And it's not available right now. I may make it available eventually. Right now, these are printed in Hong Kong. So we're talking tariffs and so on. But I don't know of a local printer who will do them, because everyone, I think, goes through Hong Kong because they have the technology and so on and so forth. I'm looking into it, but they're not. Anyway, so this is a little thing I came up with a long time ago. And it really helps you two things. One, to understand your deck, whatever deck you're using better. But number two, to build your visual mental muscles. Okay? One, you start off with a card. And you say, okay, I want to see that card. And by the way, every card I drew is based upon 45 years of tarot work. 40 years, at least, of working with the Crowley deck, you know. But I just thought, okay, this is my take on it. And it makes, I use it, that's all I use for reading now. So you start off with, okay, wands. I'm going to reach in my pocket and pull out a match and light it. Boom, there it is. Still getting used to this camera thing. So you see the match. And this is, you do this, you look at the card, you say, okay, you create a story. There it is. First part of the story. Then you go to the Two of Wands. So you light that up and you say, okay, I see that what I'm going to do is light these. You see there's a stage and there's a man on stage. He's a magician. And there's a conductor in a pit. And I'm going to light with the match those lamps at the base of the stage. That's what you do with the match. So that's number two, right? Two of Wands, Dominion. But you see that as you turn that into a little play. So the next thing you do in your mind is you light those lamps, right? Can you see that? Okay, so that's the next thing you do. And you sit through this show, and then you go out and it's daytime. You're going, oh my God, it's daytime already. And I haven't milked my cow. So you go out and the three wands are, legs of the stool. And that's virtue, the Three of Wands. And so you go and you sit down and you're milking the cow and the cow is very happy. But there's this loud, loud music coming from somewhere. You say, well, that's not good. That's not good. I have to change that, right? So you get up and you go over and there's a house and you go up and you knock on the door and you walk in and there is John Bonham from Led Zeppelin pounding on his drums. And he's using four drumsticks, those four sticks. It's one of my favorite Zeppelin songs, Four Sticks. And you have to wait until he's complete. That's completion there, right? And he gets off the phone and he calls the cops and says, there's this guy just walked into my house. And you look out the window and you see this. Five cops with their riot batons coming your way. By the way, this card is based on real life. Mardi Gras, 1977. Long story, some other time. And you say, I better get the heck out of here. So you run as fast as you can away from what's happening here. and you run into the library that's right there, and you sit down. Wait a minute, Mo. Wands? What wands are those? Well, they're books. 6 books. And books are made out of what? Paper. Paper's made out of what? Trees. So that's the perfection of the suit. We'll talk about that some other time. So there we go. That's victory, you know. Hello, Quelly. How are you? Welcome. Welcome to the room. So that's the next thing you see, sitting down and victory. What is better than books? To me, nothing. So you hear a lot of yelling outside, and you think, well, maybe these cops aren't going to find me in here. I'm going to go out, and there's a crowd outside. And so the 7 of wands, valor, there's a protest outside. And those 7 wands are 7 sticks that are used to hold up protest signs. And so you're with them outside with the protest. And you march down to the side of a river where you see a scullery team, right? And right there they are doing their thing, and you see a huge whale underneath the boat. And you watch that happen, and then you hear flutes making music on the other side of the thing, and there's the flutes, blah, blah, blah. And beyond that, there is a pocket machine in a building, and that's the 10 of Wands, oppression. So what you're doing is you're creating a story in your mind with each card. And even if it's a card that doesn't have definite images like my deck does, it can be any deck, you still use your imagination and you begin to see what's going on. You're creating a very vivid imagination-fueled thing. Right? That's what it's all about. It's all about the imagination. It's all about allowing yourself to really benefit from your mind, you know? Okay? Yeah. It's important. This is one of the most valuable exercises that you will ever learn. And create your own things. Do it. It's a good thing. Merci beaucoup, man. Thank you. She's saying I'm very talented. I'm very driven. I'll say that. She says the artwork is very good on my cards. Thank you so much. Who is talented is my son-in-law. We may collaborate on a deck someday. He's a tattoo artist. Most of his stuff goes on human flesh. So I don't think there'll be a museum anytime soon of his work. But he's incredible. My God, his work is absolutely stunning. But he's offered to, you know, to discuss it with me. He's unbelievably talented. Truly, I keep saying to him, you know, you could do comic books. You could do anything you want. And he said, I'm good. He's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'm kind of a hack, I think, but I'm more of a cartoonist. I do what I like. I love what I do, actually. And I've got some ideas brewing in my head. I keep creating decks. I created a deck of cards just to play a solitaire game I created. And I created it and then went, okay, I'm done playing the game. I may get it published just so I can play the game. And who knows what I'll do with it. But I'll probably put this up again. I don't know. It was sold quite a few of them, and there are people who actually use the deck. I may add the, I don't know, you in the chat room. I'm thinking of adding the astrological signs. But I don't know that that's necessary. Is that really necessary? I mean, you can find that out if you want. I just decided it wasn't necessary, so I didn't put them on there. I don't know. I think that most people can find that. I wanted my deck to be my deck, usable. usable for me. That was more important for me. So anyway, so oh my God, it's almost time for the end of this show. My first full-blown visual enterprise into the world. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Those of you in Radio Land, those of you in YouTube Land, thank you very much. Thank you, Leslie. I'm going to keep this up. I like it. I like, and if you have ideas of what you would like to see me talk about, don't be afraid to let me know. I think you can let me know on YouTube through the comments section. Yeah, you can leave comments on this. And please subscribe, because I think that's important. Terry, thank you. Like, they have this thumbs up thing. And, you know, to let me know that you liked what I did and to subscribe to what I do. And I think all that matters in the long run. I don't know what my long run is. But as long as I'm around, I'd like to do this. So thank you very much to all of you. Until next week, I wish you peace and love. I will talk to you later. Take care. Bye. A lot of buttons to push.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.